Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots nonprofit radio station in Laguna Beach from anywhere in the world on kx93.5.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. Right now, here's the Importance of Being podcast on KX93.5.
KXRN LP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach. Member supported KX93.5.
And so this is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show, and we'll be right back to get the show started after these songs. KX93.5.
Call your girlfriend. It's time you had the talk. Give you reason. Say it's not her fault, but you just met somebody new. Tell her not to get upset, second guessing everything you said and done. But when she gets upset, tell her how you never meant to hurt no one. Just tell her that the only way her heart will mend is when she learns to love again. Won't make sense right now, but you're still her friend. And then you let her down easy. Call your girlfriend. It's time you had. Give you reasons. Say it's not her fault, but you just met somebody new. Don't you tell her I give you something that you never even knew you missed. Don't you even try to
for her, does she remember? That it comes and goes in waves. This one's for the faithless, the ones that are surprised. They're only where they are now, regardless of their fight.
Alrighty, this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And I am happy to have return guest Eric Morago of Moontide Press. Hi there.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
Well, thank you for coming back. So for the listeners who maybe didn't tune in last time or missed that episode, what is Moontide Press?
Moontide Press is an independent Southern California press that publishes poetry. Eventually, we'll move on to some other things like short fiction and essays. But it was established in 2006 by an Orange County poet by the name of Michael Miller. And in 2017, I officially took over the press.
Okay.
And since then, we've put out... This is our fifth book, this book that just released now. We put out two anthologies and three collections of other poets' work, and we've got a busy 2019 planned.
Okay, and so as, I guess, the publisher of this press, what's your day like? What do you do to make this happen?
What do I do to make this happen?
Well, I mean, you know, it's different from being a doctor or a lawyer or something like that, so... How does it work?
It's just a lot of reading, reading people's work, editing, communicating, emails, working with a designer to put the design stuff together. I don't do the design work myself.
Okay.
So I contract out to a designer, and it's a one man show basically. I have some help. I've got a wonderful social media and publicity person,
mm-hmm.
That's helping me out. Ellen Weber, she's fantastic. Our designer's really great, but essentially it's me. I've just, I read submissions when people send manuscripts, try and get back to them in a timely manner,
okay.
Work with the authors who we select to publish, and go back and forth between edits and working with them and just compiling everything that goes into the book, from the work itself to cover art to the blurbs that go on the back, purchasing the ISBN, handling all that, dealing with the printing source. So yeah, it's a lot of little things that make up a day.
And so for a given book, how long is that process? And kind of how do you know when you have a book?
I would say most of the people that submit work to me to publish that I select, the book's pretty much already there in terms of the content.
Okay.
The work itself.
Oh, so you have a bunch of lots of things that have been submitted, and you say, "Oh, these kind of."
I look at the submissions, and yeah, if I don't feel like the book is there, if I don't feel like it's a solid manuscript, I'm gonna pass on it. I'm not gonna select a manuscript that I feel is like 20-30% there in content, just because I'm gonna publish something that's pretty much.
So
solid.
Are you mostly publishing the works of one author or poet as a book? Or, I mean, they're anthologies in a lot.
Well,
of
no, I've only published two anthologies. The three other books were
that's what I thought.
Full-length collections of authors. No, an anthology is different. An anthology is, which, you know, we're just putting out our second anthology this month. It's called Dark Ink, a poetry anthology inspired by horror. There's a theme, if you can't tell. And that theme is poems inspired by horror, as the byline and the title suggests. It's really just asking poets to respond to the horror genre, whether it be literature, film, mythology, or just basic horror tropes. So this anthology's themed. I had about 200 people submit work to me. I settled on 66 poets, anywhere between 1 to 4 poems per poet.
Okay.
And that was me compiling the manuscript. But
right.
When a single
right.
author is sending me their work, that manuscript is all their stuff, and it's generally if I'm going to publish it, if the work speaks to me, the manuscript is pretty much there. But anthology is different because anthology is me putting it all together.
Right. You're a curated view of, I guess, emerging poets.
Yeah. So this anthology, I'm very, very proud of it. It's available now, Dark Ink. And I'm really proud of it.
On Amazon.
It is on Amazon. You can go to moontidepress.com to purchase it as well.
Okay.
If you don't want to give, if you want to give your money more to the press than to the Amazon machine, would be appreciated. But you can find it on Amazon.
You can contribute to Jeff Bezos' success.
Yeah. I am very proud of the book. The 66 poets who are in it are phenomenal. The work is great. I mean, we've got poems on things that you would imagine, like Frankenstein's monster, because who doesn't like writing about him? The Bride of Frankenstein, vampires. We've got a poem about the Munsters, which is fantastic. Witches and goblins. It runs the gamut of what you can think about.
In
very clever and new and fresh ways.
So you get a number of submissions. What are you looking for I assume some of them are cold and they just know that you publish poetry and so they just send you their work.
When you say cold, would you mean
somebody that you don't know that
oh,
you haven't I
right.
mean, you know,
okay, that's what I thought you meant. I get a handful of people submitting to me who I've never heard of before. And that happened a lot in this anthology, and I'm very happy to now know them.
Okay.
And know their work. So that's great, a great surprise. I have come to recognize some names who have submitted multiple times, and that's kind of cool. It's kind of cool to see, you know. I try to be very encouraging even to work that's not selected.
Right.
And just because I say no this time doesn't mean I'm not going to say yes down the road. So I appreciate having people, you know, follow the press and still believe in the press and still want to have the press represent their voice. So I do like seeing names, you know.
Yeah, new faces.
Yeah.
New
names come around more than once. Okay. That's always nice. I'll get a cold, as you call it, cold submission. And I'm really just looking for work that when I get done reading the poem, I want to go back to it. I want to go back and make a new discovery. So poetry that that really allows the reader freedom to kind of discover their own, you know, meaning in the poem, their own path in the poem.
So I guess it has some complexity and some depth to it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I like poems that tell a story in a new way. So what's nice about writing about horror is that we can take these familiar characters or familiar stories that people, you know.
Right.
And we can put a new spin on them or come at it from a different point of view to share something personal or
illustrate some part of life.
Yeah, exactly. And so what's nice about writing, this is why I gravitate towards and enjoy pop culture in as allusion in literature, modern literature like poetry, is that it's an open door for a general reader to understand and kind of draw connections and comparisons to.
Okay.
You're not alienating anybody. You're really kind of inviting them in. Hey, like, hey, here's a poem about Jason Voorhees. You know him, the guy at the hockey mast. Now, come on in and let me show you this metaphor. So, I mean, you know, so it's stuff like that.
Okay.
So, it's appealing to a larger audience than just somebody who's going to pick up a anthology of poems. This might appeal to just somebody who, you know, is a fan of horror, or somebody who just is walking by reading and hears somebody, you know,
likes
talking
stories,
about zombies.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and just wants to feel it in a different way.
Exactly.
All right. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have more from Eric Morago of Moontide Press.
want.
I really don't.
Well, I'm not saying that I have this capacity, because it's hard to develop that capacity on your own
when you're being stopped at every turn.
I'm nowhere to go. Melt me down. I'm like wax to your jokes. Lost and found. Knocking heads, laying low. And there's no point reliving crimes to lose this. Still wanna waste all my time. I wanna waste all my time. Still wanna waste all my time. I wanna waste all my time with you. Oh my lover, my lover, my love. We can never go back. We can only do our best to recreate. Don't turn over, turn over the page. We should rip it straight. Try our very best to fake it. Show me joy. Flower through disarray. Let's destroy each mistake that we made. Then restore color back to the gray. There's no pride in sharing scars.
Okay, this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And today I am speaking with Eric Morago of Moontide Press, a press devoted to emerging poets.
Hello. Yes, you said that well. Thank you.
All right. So you're here to talk about an anthology you're doing now, or just released, called Dark Ink.
Yes.
And that's devoted to horror. But before we dive into that, just a quick question. Who buys poetry these days?
Hopefully the people listening to this interview will be buying poetry.
Who is your when you're putting together a book or what have you, who do you think is your customer?
Well,
I mean, from the business side of it.
from the business side of it is tough because poetry is a niche audience. It's people who generally already like poetry or hear the poet's work somewhere and may not necessarily be a buyer of poetry, but something about that poet's work speaks to that person and makes that person a buyer of poetry. And those are really the kind of the poets that I'm looking to publish. I'm looking to publish authors who are can be enjoyed and admired by the poetry community. So they're putting out work that is smart and well-crafted, but have a little bit of a punch to their work that if somebody who wouldn't normally be buying a book of poems were to hear them at, say, a reading at a gallery or a bar or coffee house or wherever a poetry reading might be happening. Like, let's say they were brought to the reading by, you know, a friend or a significant other, that they can be sitting there and be like, wow, that's pretty good. Like, I'm actually like into what that poet is saying.
Right.
And those are the poets that I'm looking to publish. I'm not looking for poems that are simple or easy, you know, for the general population. I'm looking for poems that can be appreciated by the poetry community and bought by the poetry community because they like that poet's work.
But with some crossover value.
That the work has appeal to a larger audience. And that's my own opinion. I mean, the poets that I've published, I feel like the work can be enjoyed by more than just, you know, people who, you know, consume poetry on a daily basis.
Right.
And then that's my call as the editor and the publisher, is I'm really following my gut. And that's what I try to do when I'm putting together this anthology. While the theme also is a theme that I think can be appreciated by more than just, you know, the poetry consumer.
Sure.
I also want the work to have a bit of that, you know, like I said, that punch that like is going to attract or, you know, make somebody turn their head and be like, wow, I didn't think poetry could do that.
They could have a poetry experience, if you will.
Yeah. So, you know, our audience is really the general poetry, you know, consumer.
Community.
But also, you know, we're trying to bring in new blood.
Right. And so I think that's a lot of what Dark Ink is about, is sharing stories that people are familiar with.
Right.
In a different way, as you said earlier. So one more thing before we get into the book. What's success for you in when you do publish a book of someone's
not
poetry?
Losing money. That is my success. I mean, obviously,
zero.
Yeah, breaking even is success. But it's true. This is a labor of love.
Yeah,
I have no kind of ill-conceived fantasy that, you know, oh, this is gonna, you know. This is my retirement right here, baby. This is how I'm going to, like, I'm going to end up on a beach, you know, with some my feet in the sand and a tropical drink in hand. Poetry's going to get me there. No, it's necessary work, I feel, to get art into this world.
Okay.
And I've been blessed with a position now to do that and to put work out there that I believe in and invest in people. Okay. Invest in voices and invest in poets that I believe, if they aren't already on a journey, need to go on that journey and you know, take those steps out there in the world and be appreciated and be consumed by readers. like I said, I'm in a position where I can do that, and I think it's my responsibility to do that. You know, if I have the means to be able to do it, then do it. And so success is really just seeing people buy these authors' books. And for the authors to, you know, order copies of their own book for me and go out with those books and do readings and sell those books and come back to me and like, hey, I sold out. I need to buy, you know, 30 more copies. Awesome. Because that means people are buying those
copies. Yes.
And that's great. Whether they buy them from me, they buy them from the author directly, they buy them from Amazon, it means the work is getting out there.
Okay.
And that's success for me. Like I said, as long as I break even.
All right. So you're really here to talk about this latest anthology, Dark Ink.
Yes.
And poetry inspired by horror. So why did you choose that genre? And then we'll get into maybe you can read us a poem.
Okay. I've always been a big fan of horror as a genre. I love horror films. I love this time of year. It's my favorite time of year. Just the decorations. Like, I was driving down PCH to your guys' studio, and there is like a window display of like these two like well dressed skeletons like having tea. And I was like, yeah, see, and that's like for me, that's my Christmas right there. I love it. And I love like the when we had that storm Friday night,
yeah.
I was driving home in it and like the lightning, and I was like, oh, and I begged my wife, can we watch a scary movie? She doesn't do scary movies. She's terrified of horror movies.
Yeah. And bad dreams for like 3 weeks after.
We settled on Ghostbusters. That's as scary as I can get her to get into. Yeah. But I've always loved it. And so, you know, I've dabbled in doing fun little things where I used to watch in the month of October, I'd watch a horror movie every day and write like a haiku about it. And I post it on social media and stuff. And other people started doing it too.
Okay.
That when I first took over the press back in 2017, I had this idea. I was like, I want to do an anthology of horror. So, I mean, I knew as soon as I had the means, I'm like, hey, I own a press now. I can put out whatever I want.
Right.
That I knew I wanted to do this book, but I wanted the press to have been like built a little bit before I dived in on this project.
Right.
So I couldn't be happier. I was afraid that I wouldn't afraid. I was worried that there wouldn't be a huge calling of people being like sending me their work, but I was pleasantly surprised by how many people sent me such fantastic stuff and that they shared the same vision that I had.
All right. Then let's tarry no more, and let's hear a poem.
All right, so I've been on the show before with you, and we've always talked about me as a publisher, a little bit of me as a poet, but your audience hasn't actually heard anything of me, so I want to put my money where my mouth is, so people know I'm more than just a publisher. So I'm going to read one of my own.
He's,
from the anthology.
He's really just an accountant.
Other poets don't think that, oh, he's the publisher and he just put himself in the anthology. Well, of course I did. I want to be in on this awesome anthology.
Well, yeah, apparently you came into the business with this dream, so.
Yeah, but I wrote a brand new poem specifically for this anthology.
Okay.
I think it'll be pretty obvious throughout the poem whom I'm talking about. But this is called, scoot this mic down a little bit. This is called From Nancy to Freddy. How many years has it been since I'd burned skin to stay awake, to keep from sleep and you? The nightmare ended a lifetime ago. My bed is no longer a fist of knives, and yet at times I miss their threat and tingle along my spine, the hero you made of me. But now, without you, my monster, what am I? I drink soy decaf lattes with girlfriends, gossiping over Instagram posts and Twitter feeds. I have too much red wine with dinner, enough to promise I fall fast asleep. I don't dream. Remember the boiler room, how you chase me, a ballet of flames reflecting in your eyes, your blistered face, a bouquet of scars, your smile, a snake. How do I get back there? I want to feel fear in my mouth again, swallow its electricity until I glow courage. Give me your cackle and taunts, your wolf's breath at my door, all huff and puff. Play me a song of razors scraping metal pipes like the strumming of synthesized guitar. I need a soundtrack for my comeback, something that builds and builds and builds. God, I'm so bored these days. I swipe right for every man in a striped sweater, hoping their fingers on my flesh are just as sharp as yours. When I ask if, in their bedroom, they hide a furnace that I can fight my way out of, I'm disappointed when they always say no, relieved when they never call again. Don't you feel it's about time for a sequel? I think tonight I'll brew a pot of dark roast and draw myself a hot bath. I'll let down my guard enough to make things interesting. I can see it now, the struggle to stay alert that only pulls one closer to sleep. The drip and sizzle, your hand creeping out of the water like a secret. The faint hum of children singing a lullaby. One, two, Freddy's coming for...
All right. Wow. That's pretty cool. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. My guest this morning is Eric Morago, and he is the publisher of Moontide Press. And he's also a poet, and that was his poem. All right, we'll be right back on KX93.5.
I feel free.
KX93.5, you're listening to The Importance of Being Show. Today, my guest is Eric Morago of Moontide Press, and we are talking about his latest anthology, Dark Ink.
Hi. Yes, we are. Hi. Thank you.
All right. So we read a poem by you just before the last break, and I believe there's another poem in the book.
There are many poems in the book. I actually don't know the number of poems, but like I said, there are 66 poets. I thought 66 was a good number to go for, considering the theme of the collection. You know, one six shy of the mark of the beast. So one of the other poets in the anthology, I've gotten to know their work over the year of me having the press. I think she's bought in like almost all the titles that we've had out. Like, so I've recognized her name as, you know, when I'm shipping these books out. And I was so happy when she submitted work to the anthology. I was happier when that work was really, really good, and that I wanted to publish it in the anthology. But actually, we took the title of the anthology from a line in her poem, which I love doing. I love finding, you know, that's the coolest thing for me, because when I'm publishing an anthology, I don't know what I'm going to call it. I know what the goal of the anthology is. Right. In this case, it was, you know, a theme collection about poems, you know, responding to horror or inspired by horror. But I had no idea what I was going to call it. So then I read this poem of hers and reread this poem, and she uses the phrase dark ink in it, and I was like, that's great. And nothing else came close to being the title of the anthology in my mind. And so this is, the poet's name is Alexander Olmos. And what's really cool also is that she submitted a manuscript to Moontide Press after submitting poems to this anthology. And we're going to publish her manuscript in 2019.
Wow.
So you'll be seeing more of her. But this is her poem that appears in Dark Ink. It's where the title comes from. And this poem is called After Reading the Dollhouse Murders. I asked my parents to take the dollhouse and store it in the garage. In the book, the dolls come to life, and the little girl wakes each morning to the smallest figurines, 2 inches of terror in different rooms than when she left them. One doll closes the curtain of the kitchen window. Another poses, hand over stifled mouth, sits on the couch, stares into air. I couldn't close my eyes at night knowing they didn't, even if they wanted to. There was always a door, slightly open, or a mark on the pink-flowered wallpaper that hadn't been there before. Even after I covered the house with a quilt and slept with the light on, I could still hear the brittle scratches of dull plastic against wood, the baby crying from the yellow crib. Reading brought those dolls to life. They breathed and sighed and had to be laid away in shoeboxes. That was the beginning. Soon there were siblings locked in our attic, then a mad woman. Every dog had rabies. Each storm drain contained a clown. Books hook their fingers into our eyes. We can't help but open their covers, unshuttering the crisp white page, the indelible dark ink.
All right. Okay, so...
And again, that was Alexander Olmos's poem.
Okay. And the anthology is Dark Ink. The press is Moontide Press.
Yes.
And if people want to... buy the book?
If they want to buy the book, the coolest way to go about it would be coming to the official book launch and party for the book, which is Saturday, November 3rd at the Whittier Museum in Whittier, California. Okay. And it's going to be at 7 p.m. It's free, open to the public. The museum is super spooky. It's really cool. It's a historical museum. It's got all sorts of artifacts in there from the city of Whittier, which has a lot of really rich history. But the most important thing, it's going to be still decorated after Halloween.
Ah,
so yes. There's going to be all sorts of spooky and creepy decorations. And us, a large portion of the poets who are featured in the anthology will be present. They'll be reading their poems from the anthology. We'll have copies for sale. There'll be snacks and treats and beverage. Complimentary, of course. The books are not complimentary. The beverage is. You'll have a chance to purchase Dark Ink, meet some of the poets that are in the anthology. You'll be able to purchase other Moontide titles. There'll be a fun raffle. All right. All sorts of activities going on. It starts at 7 o'clock. And it's just going to be a big party and reading. It'll be a lot of fun. Like I said, it is free. That's on Saturday, November 3rd at the Whittier Museum in Whittier. But if you do not live locally or can't get out to Whittier on that day, you can still buy a copy of the anthology by going to moontidepress.com, or you can go on Amazon.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I really enjoy it. And I hope that this anthology gets you closer to living on the beach with a tropical drink, doing nothing all day.
Me too, actually. That wouldn't be terrible.
That wouldn't bother you.
Wouldn't bother me.
All right. Well, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
I hope you come back again.
Thank you.
All right. This is KX93.5. You've been listening to the Importance of Being show. And coming up next is Steve Reed and Coast Highway Shuffle. We'll be back next week. Stay tuned.